If someone say, make a wish, and I will grant, what do you wish? Make a wish. What's your wish? When you were younger, did you wish for something? Something you want to become? Something you want to happen? Did it happen as you wished? Smart person said, I want to be the CEO. I want to be the chief executive officer of my own company. I want to earn money. And another one said, I want to marry self-made rich person. And still another simply said, I just want to experience once in a lifetime love that I spend with for the rest of my life. Well, everyone has a wish, personal wish. Our personal wish is very unique for us. And your wish could be your goal in your life if you are very serious of that wish. So if you have a wish, if you have a goal in life, you plan intentionally. And very intentional on how you proceed in your life, right? So if you are planning to be or wishing your goal is to become a basketball player in the future, for example, you spend time playing basketball, not spend time playing computer games, right? I don't know if that computer game would help you become a very good basketball player. Well, if you have a goal, if you are, like for example, if you travel, you want to go for travel, and Canadians are known to be traveling during winter, they go to the dry or warmer place. Like for example, if you wish to travel, you're thinking of traveling down south, where? You cannot go to Florida, it's destroyed. I don't know where you go, but maybe somewhere where it's warmer. And you plan for that travel. Set your mind to your preferred destination. You prepare for everything. And you plan how you proceed. Would I go on foot? That would be too far. Would I go driving? That's tiring. Would I go by plane? Or how much you spend? You prepare, even if it is, sometimes there are free travels that you would get, but you need to bring money. How you may buy some souvenirs where you go, and where you stop for necessities if you are driving. Well, it's not smart if you say, well, I want to go down south. I get there when I get there. That's not very smart, right? And you should expect possible problems of like shortage of supplies. You expect that. What if some people had the travel? There was this story about older people. They travel down in South America, and then there came the pandemic. They were caught. They cannot fly out, and their medicine supply come short of their expected, because they expect to return in few months. So they just bring their medicine supply just enough, and then they had problem when they were not allowed to fly out. So in this world, there's a lot of problem. Have you ever found a place in this world with no problem? Just tell us and we'll go, if that is possible. Different season. it help us understand that there's different problem in this world. In winter, we have problem with extreme coldness. In spring, what's problem in spring? Dandelion. Dandelion come out during spring. In summer, sometimes summer is good, but extreme heat is not very good. Fall, many have problems in fall, cleaning their yard. Well, difficulties should not dissuade us to quit. Difficulties should challenge us to keep on and be creative. We need the Lord, how we may solve those problems. If we seriously want to reach our goals, we should not look at problems as thing that would stop us from our goal. What do you wish to accomplish in your life? What do you wish to accomplish in your life before leaving this earth? Everyone, we will surely leave this earth one day. Be sure that you spend sufficient time for things that have eternal significance. Buy something that you may use that would help you earn more eternal treasure. Don't buy something that you think that you can cherish forever. No, it's not possible in this world. Material things in this world stay in this world. Apostle Paul advised in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 30 to 31, let this passage enlighten us. Those who buy something as if it were not theirs to keep. Those who use the things of the world as if not engrossed in them, for this world in its present form is passing away. Now this is not being pessimistic. This is more kind of optimistic. We buy things not just for this world, but we use it for God's glory. There are concerned group of people. They want to save this planet. Not bad about that. No problem about that. They also provide scientific studies to prove that this earth, this world is deteriorating. And it is real. Concerned or not, this planet cannot last forever. One day, this planet would be burned. But we can do what we can, what is right for the glory of God. And as citizens of heaven, we should spend sufficient time and effort to prepare for our eternal residency, not just for this world. Look forward to that day when we live together with our Lord Jesus Christ. So our goal and wishes in life should involve things with eternal value. So if you buy something, what does this thing be useful? How can this thing be useful for eternal treasure? Ask that for yourself. Let's learn from King David. King David, it's possibly that he was a shepherd pasturing the flock of his father. He might have been wishing upon the star, Lord, will I become a king? Will a shepherd become a king? Will a shepherd become the greatest king? I don't know if he wished that. He became king anyway, become the greatest king of Israel. He may not wish, I want to be powerful. You know, the shepherds, they were the lowly people. What are lowly workers that you think in Canada? If you think that person, the work of that person is like, that's the lowest level of job. What would that be? But in their time, the shepherds, they are the despised worker because they just earn very little. So the life of King David being a shepherd was relegated to be the shepherd of the flock. His older brothers should be more mature, but they let him be the one tending the flock. And maybe he would have wished, "How I wish I would be powerful, strong, so that my brothers, my siblings would not just look down on me. I want to be wealthy." I don't know if he think about that, he wish about that. "I want to be famous, famous." I don't know if he was looking at the falling star, the comet, while tending the flock at night, watching the stars, wishing upon the stars. I don't know. But his popularity prolonged in our generation and may extend to the next generation. He became powerful, wealthy, and famous. There is one recorded prayer item, only wish that he had, that was publicly written and recorded. Do you know what it was? It says in Psalm 27, verse 4, this is his wish. "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." Wow. That is the only wish he had, and yet God allowed him. God was delighted of that desire of David to dwell in the house of the Lord. And God favorably blessed him with practical things that anyone may wish to have in this world. Reflect on this. If your father is very rich, the richest person in this world, and he is also gracious. Now don't think about Bill Gates, don't think about the other very rich people because they are not thinking of giving their children their inheritance, billions. I think one of the billionaires said, "I would give them maybe 10 million is enough for them. I don't give them billions. They would destroy their life with that money. They want their children to build their own dynasty or wealth, not just waiting for dole out. Now, think about this. If your father's very rich, very gracious, and very loving king, so meaning he is very powerful, gracious, loving, and powerful king, your father, will you go to your father, "Father, please, please give me this favorite shirt"? Would you go to him? "Please, please, please give me, let me eat my favorite food." Would you go and beg him that? "Will you please give me the best room in the palace? Please, please." Would you ask him, begging him? A loving, gracious, powerful king would not wait. He wouldn't wait. He makes sure that his children would be very comfortable. They would have the things they need in life so that their children would not come kneeling before them and begging for their needs, right? And the servants of kings, servants of loving and gracious king, are well provided also. What do you think? If he is a loving king, if he is gracious king, would he not provide his servants? Provide food more delicious than ordinary citizen would eat. They wear clothes more dignified than clothing of ordinary citizen. And it's not very it's not very admirable for to say that a loving king, gracious king, and yet his servants would come in rugged clothes, right? Serve him with servants in rugged clothes, giving food in his table. Well, that is not very pleasant for the king. So he would provide for that. Even the shelter that they where they stay, it would be very well provided, cozier than the dwelling of ordinary citizens. And not to mention that they are also well secured, well guarded, because there are guards. They also guard their servants. The king would not allow the servants to get sick. If they get sick, he would make sure that that servant get well. Who would serve him if the servant gets sick? Will the king want the servant who had COVID to come and serve him? That is not very, very bright idea. Not bright idea. Can you accept then that our Heavenly Father is merciful and gracious, King of Kings? If God is gracious, if God is loving, if God is merciful, if God is the King of Kings, will He not provide more than you expect? Will He not care more than you need it? He provides for the needs of His creation, even for those unbelievers. He provides for them, but He provides especially for those who belong to His household, the children of God and citizens of heaven. Realistically, believers have different social status. In this world, especially here in the Western world, it's easier to see that there are rich and poor believers, and there are famous and ordinary believers. And I don't know if they still happen these days, but some time ago, there are free and slave believers. And anyone who believes in the Lord is adopted child of God. Historically, slaves have suffered unfair treatment accordingly. This is why they hate the term slave. People hate the term slave because of suffering, unfair treatment. But can suffering cause us to trust God more? If you suffer more, can you trust God more? Have you been unfairly treated in your work, or where you live, where you stay? Unfair treatment should cause us to draw and come near to the Lord if we are conscious of God. If we are conscious of God. Let's read again verse 18 and 19. Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your master, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. Look at that. The Bible encourages slaves to submit themselves to master, not just to the good and considerate master, but also to those who are harsh. Slaves do not have minimum wage or minimum salary. If they are provided with food, shelter, and medicine, clothing, that would be enough for them. If they are given bonus, if they are given salary, that would be bonus, but they do not expect salary. They do not. Now, if that is what God expects of slaves, to submit to masters who are good, considerate, and even harsh, how much more employees who are receiving minimum wage or more? What is required of us? Initially, Peter advised the believers scattered in Asia Minor. Asia Minor is the modern-day Turkey. He advised them how they should live and behave in foreign country as foreigners or alien in the land that they immigrated. Interestingly, he also advised how slaves should live, should behave as believers of Christ. Now, think about your situation now. If your employer is very harsh, you might be maltreated like slaves. You might feel like slaves. Don't compare yourself as a slave if you are receiving salary. Slaves did not receive salary. You have better situation than slaves. And yet, if your employer is very harsh, how do you react? But if you have a good and considerate boss, you are blessed. Now, if we are conscious of God, if we are conscious of our status as children of God, if we are conscious of our status as citizens of heaven, we could bear the pain of unfair treatment. Really? How could it be? How could we bear the pain of unfair treatment? How? If we are conscious of God, if we are conscious of God, we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit inspires us to be conscious of God. If the Holy Spirit inspires us to be conscious of God, He bears fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, self-control, faithfulness, humility, gentleness, goodness, kindness. So, we patiently love our obligation, even if we think that's so hard for us. And we have patience if the Holy Spirit is working in our life. Seriously. Difficult situation can be instrumental for us to check and evaluate our spiritual status. How is my spiritual status? If we really receive the Holy Spirit in us, the Holy Spirit of God in us, do I have the Holy Spirit in me? Why is it that I don't feel that joy in my work? I don't feel that love in my work? I don't feel that peace when boss is so harsh? I don't have that patience going to work on the time assigned for me. Keep checking your situation and ask, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want your Holy Spirit. Don't stop. When you sense that resistance in your heart against your boss, ask, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Just keep asking. When life gets tough and hard, ask the Lord, Lord, I don't feel that joy and peace right now. Fill me. Please, please, please. And don't stop. Keep on praying. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, even the harshest situation, you would praise the Lord. In the first century, Stephen was one of the original deacons of the very first Christian church in Jerusalem. Stephen was accused. He was charged before Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was the Supreme Court in the first century, Jewish Supreme Court in the first century. And Stephen made the Sanhedrin very angry. And when he testified, he told them, remind them, you killed the righteous one, Jesus Christ. You killed him. It narrated in Acts chapter 7, verse 55, verse 16. Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." At this, they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voice, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he fell asleep. Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, he was martyred. That was the harshest, toughest death, being stoned to death. Yet he prayed for his tormentors, "Do not hold this sin against them." Think about unfairness in your life. What unfair treatment is much worse than physical torture to death? You may have been physically tortured or emotionally abused. You may have been unfairly treated somewhere. Make sure that you receive the Holy Spirit of God in your life. Pray very sincerely and seriously. Say, "Lord, fill me, empower me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me, Lord. I want to experience your presence in my life. Empower me." Keep on praying similar prayer until you are filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. Don't stop. Every time you remember, keep praying. We need that. We need the Holy Spirit. How do we know that we receive the empowerment of the Holy Spirit? You would sense that joyful peace in your heart, patience to endure unfairness, and love even the unlovable. The Bible did not say you need to like that person. There are people that is really unlikable, but you can love that person. That is the command that we have, to love them, not to like them. But of course, if you love them, you can like them too, right? Harshly treated or not, will our behavior be credited? Will it be commendable before God? Let's read again verse 20. "But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good, you endure it. This is commendable before God." Well, this is something that is not very true in this generation. Why? There are individuals who give credit, who would praise people who do wrong, who would magnify people who do wrong, and make them their heroes for doing wrong. It's sad, but it's a reality. The term credit is properly interpreted as praise. What is it to your praise? It is also interpreted, credit is also interpreted as fame or popularity. What is it to your fame? What is it to your popularity? Or glory? What is it to your glory or renown? That is the meaning of the term credit in there. It is foolish to praise a wicked person who was punished for doing wrong, right? You think that it's foolish? But there are many foolish who would praise people who are punished for doing wrong. But if we suffer because we accomplish our obligation diligently, faithfully, but if we suffer for that, we receive praise and credit before God. Certainly, the Lord commends believers who endure suffering. But how can we endure suffering with peace and gladness? Again, pray for the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. If you patiently endure something, do you complain for the suffering you endured? Patience, patience, and yet you complain. That is not the kind of patience commendable to God. If you have patience, you endure, you sense that peace. You sense that joy. And you praise God because you know that one day God will commend you. Patience that comes from the Holy Spirit includes love. Love for what we do. Peace. We have gladness in heart. That's the patience from the Holy Spirit. And as a result, we praise God. We thank Him. We want to tell the goodness of God. We endure. It is very advisable to make sure that we are filled, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. Always, always, if possible, if we are awake, keep on. If it is your first prayer in the morning, if when you wake up in the morning, instead of thinking your problem, you remember the Lord, "Lord, I don't know what comes today, but fill me with your Holy Spirit. That's all I need." If you pray for that every morning, it would be great. You would praise God for the rest of your life if you can do that. It's very advisable to keep on praying, asking the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. He reveals what is good for you, and He gives you wisdom, how you may proceed, how you would do it, so that it would bring praise and glory to God. He inspires us to have positive outlook in life, even when it's so difficult. For example, snowfall, a lot of snow. What positive thought that comes to your mind? This is so hard. I'm shoveling again. My back, it's aching. For older people. But for children, they would say, "Wow, snow!" They would go and have fun. They have fun. Well, if you think that snow is your time to have exercise for free, many of you are paying monthly fees at the gym. Now, the Lord says, "You do not need to pay that. Just give to the church your payment. I will give you something to exercise to have a free exercise." That's now, right? So that you, instead of, "I will just give it to the poor. I will just give it to the mission," instead of paying there. But if you can have extra, that's good. Do that. The Lord inspires us. The Holy Spirit inspires us to have positive outlook in life, even in difficult situation. Pray sincerely to have that positive attitude, even in unfamiliar, confusing situation. You face a situation that you don't know what to do. It's your first time. Pray that God, the Holy Spirit, would inspire you not to be confused, but to see what God can do. We can learn and reflect from the servant of Abraham. Abraham instructed his servant or slave. He said to his servant, "Get a wife for my son Isaac. Get a wife for my son Isaac from my relatives there somewhere in the east." And the servant traveled for many weeks by camel. Eventually, he followed the instruction of Abraham to get a wife for Isaac. And he testified of his personal experience in Genesis chapter 24, verse 42 to 44, he said, "When I came to the spring today, I said, 'Lord, God of my master Abraham, if you will, please grant success to the journey which I have come. See, I am standing beside this spring. If a woman comes out to draw water and I say to her, "Please let me drink a little water from your jar." And if she says, "Drink, and I'll draw water for your camel too," let her be the one the Lord has chosen for my master's son." Well, actually, before the servant finished praying in his heart, not audibly, in his heart, before he finished praying in his heart, Rebecca came out and he saw and he talked to Rebecca. And eventually, Rebecca became the wife of Isaac. The Lord answered the prayer of the servant of Abraham. But think about his situation. He traveled for many days, maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I don't know how long he traveled from Beersheba, or that south of Jerusalem, going to Padan Aram, that is somewhere in Baghdad or in Iraq, somewhere there. It's not by plane, it's not by bus, not by car, it's by camel. When the servant traveled to get a wife for Isaac, he took with him gold, silver, jewelry, and costly gifts. He had 10 camels loaded with good things. Loaded, meaning anything that a camel could carry, anything good. And how heavy can a camel carry something? Maybe, I don't know, 500 grams, 500 kilos, I don't know. He can carry 2 people, so more than that. Reflect on this. If the servant ran away instead of following the instruction of his boss, his master Abraham, with those valuable things he brought with him, he could have lived fairly decent life without a master, as free man. He could have lived as millionaire in this generation. Camels, accordingly, even this time, they are worth million. In those times, if you have camels, it's like you have SUV, not the crossover, the SUV. Like, how much is SUV? Something like somewhere 50,000. With 10, if 10 camels, that would be 500,000, not counting the gold. Yet he faithfully accomplished his mission diligently. Now you can search online how much is the most expensive camel in the Middle East, and you will be surprised that it's so expensive, especially those they use race, camel race. Now, 4,000 later, from the time of Abraham to the time of Jesus Christ, that was more or less 2,000. From the time of Jesus Christ until now, that's 2,000. So that's 4,000. 4,000 had passed, and yet we still read the story of Abraham's faithful servant. If 4,000 from now passed, our personal reflection should be, will my behavior worthy to be heard 4,000 years from now? But I am not praying for 4,000 years from now. I'm praying that the Lord would come in our generation. Our Lord Jesus Christ gave instruction how we may behave in Luke chapter 6, verse 31 to 36. Let's read. "Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, What credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Now, giving is much better than receiving. Think about this. Would you rather go to your brother and ask your brother or sister, please lend me money? How does that feel? But when you give something to your brother or your sister, how would that feel? Is it not better to give than you begging from others? Someone said, if your faith in God does not change your behavior, your attitude, if your faith in God does not change your attitude, your current status, your destiny will never change. But if faith in Christ, you endure unfairness with peace and gladness, expect changes in your life. Try giving thanks, praising your boss, harsh boss, praising him, giving thanks, appreciate anything he does good, or anything that is worth praising, praise your boss, and observe for the whole year. Do that. Don't show if you feel very sad to him, very sad because of that harsh treatment. Don't show that, and observe for a year how it would change your situation. God will certainly exalt you to the higher level. Your spiritual status, from ordinary to extraordinary status, and you will praise God. You will surely praise Him when you are promoted to the next level. Prayerfully we obey Christ, what Christ instructs us. If we are inspired by the Holy Spirit, we can obey. If this is harsh, this is tough for you to obey, ask, Lord, inspire me, I cannot obey. Remember always, godly command requires godly effort. Godly effort, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Unfair treatment may happen anywhere. It happens anytime. Pray for the Holy Spirit to produce love, joy, peace, patience, to endure harsh environment. That is our calling as children of God. It's our calling to endure suffering as believers of Christ. Let's read again verse 21. To this you are called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow His steps. Listen, we are called to endure suffering. Can you say that? We are called to endure suffering. Can you repeat that? We are called to endure suffering. Sense your mind. Is there resistance in your mind? God prepared reward for believers who endure. Christ has exemplified at the cross how we children of God should behave in suffering. He was tortured. He was crucified. He died. But He endured. He never complained. Never say anything. Never say, ouch, aray. How do you say, aray? How do you say, how do you react when you feel pain in your culture, Nickel? How do you say it when you feel pain? But people say, ouch, ouch. Or in our culture, you say, in the Tagalog, it's aray. In the Ilocano, anay. Anay, anay. And Christ did not say that. He did not say anything. He did not complain. Actually, he prayed for his tormentors. They were nailing him on the cross. And he was praying in Luke 23:34, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Maybe when your boss is so harsh, pray for that boss and say, Lord, forgive him, for he does not know what he is doing. What they did, they divided his clothes. Divided the clothes. Christ was born human for him to experience our experiences. Experience every human struggle that we experience. He endured. He was tempted. He never complained of his suffering. He proved that if we seek his help, we can endure. He enables us to endure suffering with no complaint. So when you feel like complaining, ask the Lord, Lord help me, I feel like I'm complaining. Just as he endured when he was tortured to death, he can enable us to endure suffering. But why do we need to endure suffering? In this world, everyone will suffer. Nobody in this world is spared. Everyone will suffer a particular problem. And that is not even questionable. The rich have problems. The poor have problems. The powerful have problems. Have you heard about the resignation of the UK Prime Minister? He just stayed in the office for 45 days and resigned. The Prime Minister should have been the most powerful in that, next to the Queen or King. And yet, she resigned. Famous, they are tortured. You think they are smiling because they want their fans not to feel sad, so they smile before others. And yet, you know, Justin Bieber doesn't want to be popular anymore. Tiger Woods doesn't want to be popular anymore. We were the famous people. And ordinary, everyone will face difficulty. There's prejudice, the harsh treatment, hunger, health, finances, social injustice, what else? The rich people say, oh, they don't have that. They cannot eat because they cannot taste the food. They do not have any desire to eat food. So it's good for the ordinary because they always have that. They like to eat food every time, right? I like to eat food when I see food. I like seafood. Now, do you love to watch sports games? Billiard? You like to watch basketball? Or baseball? Football? Hockey? What else do you love? Love to watch talent shows? Cooking? Or baking competition? You might have been learning about how to bake or cook. How about talent shows like beauty contest or the Survivor? Do you watch those things? What competition do you love to watch? Those competitions, they offer contestants opportunities to get to the next level. After they successfully overcome a challenge, they would be promoted to the next level. And eventually, the survivor or the champion will be rewarded handsomely. Not those who did not pass. those who were eliminated, who did not go to the next level, they were not rewarded. Similarly, every person will face difficulty. We face difficulties in this life. We like it or hate it, we will. So it's better that we need to have different outlook in life, to suffer, to endure suffering. Different level of challenges, these are testing grounds of our faith, how strong our faith, the faith we have, how strong. Now, what is the first level of testing for Christians? It could be materialism, how you, it would, your faith would be tested in materialism. If you have personally proven that you can trust Christ for material things that involve finances, practical things that we can see, practical things that we can touch, practical things that we can taste or hear or even smell, if you can trust God with concrete things, like if you can trust God that he will provide you shelter, house, or vehicle, or gadget, or the food that you want to eat, clothing, even your studies, how you finance your studies, you can trust God. God will present you the next level of challenge. There's next level of challenge. What is the next level of challenge that God would present to you? It could be things that involves our desire, our emotion, our passion, even decision. Things that we cannot see, but it's there. Relationship. You cannot see relationship, right? Health. Even career. Even vocation. Degree. Even which church you wish to attend. You need to decide for that. Even the ministry you want to serve the Lord. That those are the testing that God would bring to your attention. Testing of faith is not overnight. It may take years, many years, before you would realize, now I understand why God allowed me to be here. The things that I experienced in the past, when I look back, wow, those are the things I am prepared for. When I did my best in those experiences, with gladness, I do it now without even thinking. It become natural. Ultimately, everyone will be challenged to serve the Lord. That's the ultimate test that you will face for the rest of your life. For the rest of your life, whether you will serve the Lord full time or wherever you are. The level of spirituality you have you will face those kinds of testing. What level of spirituality do you have at the moment? What challenge level are you in now? Are you still in the first level of challenge, worrying about finances? Pray that you would trust Him. Pray for increase of faith. Are you confused of social status, career, or vocation? Are you now decided to serve the Lord for the rest of your life? Keep praying for increase of faith, stronger faith. Ask and wait for the empowerment of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We are instructed in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 20 to 24. Let's read. Each person should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. Although if you can gain your freedom, do so. For the one who was a slave when called to faith in the Lord is the Lord's freed person. Similarly, The one who is free when called is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of human beings. Brothers and sisters, each person as responsible to God should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. If situation is good, you want to be there, right? If situation is harsh, pray for godly wisdom that God would enable you to be freed from that. The very purpose of harsh treatment is to cause confusion and negative reaction, to bring out the worst in us. That's the purpose of harsh treatment. If the Holy Spirit inspires you, He inspires you to endure with peaceful gladness, God would command you. He commands you. Can you agree that God decides how He wants us to serve Him? He wants us to serve Him, but He decides. Service to God is not relegated to church ministry. It's not relegated to the Board of Trustees. It's not relegated to those who are teaching in the Sunday school. It's not relegated to preaching. It's not relegated to worship, praise and worship. That's not. All that we can serve God, we serve God where He situates us. If you are not involved in the church, pray that you may involve. But if not, pray that God would enable you to see how you may serve Him wherever you are situated. Pray to be filled by the Holy Spirit. Lord, how can I serve you in this job? How can I serve you in this situation? The Lord promised in John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. Did the Holy Spirit come into your life yet? Then you will know the truth. The truth will set you free. Who is the truth? Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Lord Jesus teaches the truth. He is the truth. Everything He says is true. And the Holy Spirit reminds us the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. When God fills us, empowers us, He wants us to bring glory and praise to His name. May God fill us and empower us to bring glory and praise to His name from now on until eternity. Shall we stand up and let's pray.